Good morning, everybody. It is 8 o'clock, so we want to go ahead and get started. We're looking forward to a great day together for the Friends of the Restoration series. This has always been one of my very favorite parts of the lectureship, and we're excited to be embarking on this journey this morning. We've had to make a little change, and our brother Scott Harp is going to be our first presenter today. We love Scott and appreciate him so much, his willingness to help in this series so much, and all the work that he does at the Friends of the Restoration, and also for his work for the restorationmovement.com. Scott was born in Haleyville, Alabama. He attended FHC and finished his BA at Heritage Christian University. He is married to the former Jenny Hubbard. They have three children, all of whom met their mates and were graduated from Freed Hardeman University. They have five grandchildren. Scott's been preaching for over 37 years for various congregations, and he is now the minister for the Crittenden Drive Church of Christ in Russellville, Logan County, Kentucky. I can't tell you how much I appreciate the website, therestorationmovement.com, and the restoration theology class that I teach here at Freed Hardeman. That website is just an awesome resource that our students use at least every week to find information and to do research for their papers. It really is a wonderful website, wonderful tool that the kingdom appreciates so very much. So before we begin our lesson today on Rex Turner Sr., let's go to our Father in prayer. Our God, we thank you for loving us and giving us another opportunity to be together. We are so thankful that you are our God. We love you. We praise you for who you are and for all the wonderful things you have done for us. Father, we thank you for this lectureship. We thank you especially now for the Friends of the Restoration series. We pray, Lord, that you will bless this time for us to study and think together, to fellowship with one another. Father, we're so thankful for those who have gone before, who have helped to guide and inspire those of us who continue to live and to serve now. Father, we are especially thankful at this hour for Scott Harp, for the wonderful work that he does in your kingdom, and also to preserve the history of your people. Father, we are so thankful for every blessing. We're so thankful for Jesus. And we pray, Lord, you'll forgive all of our sin. Be merciful to us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Dr. DeBoard, and thank you for the opportunity to be here today. I really wish I was not here today. I wish Brother Raymond Elliott could be here this morning. He called me Saturday morning and he said, "Brother," in a very, very feeble voice, he said, "I just got back from the doctor and they said I am tested positive and for COVID." So he said, "I just don't think I can go." And so I've been doing a little scrambling ever since. And so I'm honored to be up here, but I really feel like this is, of anyone I think in the world, this is Brother Raymond Elliott's position to be in. And Brother Elliott in himself is worthy of an occasion like this to remember his life and his work and his dedication to the cause of Christ. Just in the last, I guess since 2014, he's put out several books. He did a book on Ann Street Memories that if you don't have a copy of that, you really need to get a copy of that. It's about the early years of Montgomery Bible School and also Alabama Christian College and his time that was there. But he wrote some other books as well, and you can find those online. And so I just feel that, you know, it would have been great for him to have been here. I've met a few of you that are told me that you were from Montgomery. This sister here told me that she grew up across the street from the Ann Street campus. I thought, that is the neatest thing. And others said that Brother Raymond had a mobile home in their driveway. You know, so And of course, back in the 30s or back in the 40s, you know, when the school was started, I know there were, you know, things were simple and everybody had to kind of come together and work together to see that everything worked properly. And so it was a challenge for everyone. I gave her, if you will, just start passing these around. I've given you kind of an outline of what Brother Raymond was going to cover. But look at some of these. Here's some. These pictures came from Brother Gus Nichols' personal library. They came into my hands for some reason. Not too long ago. And so I'm glad to have those, but I want you to see that. Of course, Brother Nichols was heavily involved in the work and was on the Board of Trustees for Alabama Christian for many years himself. And so share those pictures around and look at them. But I really would like to get them back. But this morning, I'm going to basically follow his outline. He sent me an extended outline of things that he wanted said here and was going to say this morning. So some of the stories I want to share with you are some of the stories that he shared with me. And of course, to kind of get the picture of where Brother Raymond is coming from, he was from Somerville, Georgia. That's kind of up in the hills, not too far south of Chattanooga. And it was in 1948, summer of 1948, that Brother Turner had gone up into the hills of North Georgia and was trying to get students. And of course, he was preaching and teaching in gospel meetings. And he came to the South Commerce Street congregation where young Raymond was a member. And he tried to talk to them about, we've got a Bible school that we've started. Of course, it started in 1942, but he said, we'd like to get some students to come. And at that time, one of the young men in the congregation had just gotten married and he was working at the local cotton mill. And so he really talked to him about becoming a preacher and about coming and studying at Alabama, at that time, Montgomery Bible School. His name was James Watkins. Brother Watkins had, again, just gotten married, and he and Sister Foy, they got a truck load. Truckload. It was a carload. And Raymond said that his mother, he said that his he had a brother, older brother, that in March of 1944, turned 19 years old, he went into the military, and he was part of that last surge toward Berlin when he lost his life in January of 1945. And he said, my mother wanted a gospel preacher in our family. And he said, I was the only one left. And so he said, she bought me a brown suit she couldn't afford, and a lavender shirt and a tie to match, and sleeves with cufflinks and new shoes. And she sent my 13-year-old self off with the rest of the group from South Commerce Street to make their way down to Montgomery. He said he rode in the back of a 1944 Club Coupe, making his way down there. He said he got to about Sylacauga, Alabama, and he just got to realizing, you know, this is the farthest away from home I've ever been. And he said, I had many, many sad nights thinking about home and wanting to be back home. But he said, I was there to learn, and I was going to learn as much as I could. He said, I had this vision in my mind that when I got to this campus that I'd find some great massive bricked buildings with ivy growing up the side and everything. He said, of course, I got there, and he said many of the buildings didn't even have any electricity or water. And he said, in fact, the boys' dormitory was not even finished. And he said, we had to go up a gangplank just to get inside the door. And he said one night, he said he had to have a flashlight to get around. And so one of the older students came up to him and he says, you got a flashlight? He said, do you mind if I borrow your flashlight? He says, I need to go I'm trying to write a letter to my girlfriend and get that finished. And so He loaned him the flashlight and took him a while to get it back. But he said over the next 50 years, every time he saw Wendell Winkler, he would say, "I think you owe me two batteries." And so he and Wendell were good friends. I want to show you, let's see, this next picture here. This is a picture of some of the young men that were being trained for preaching of the gospel. And so as you look up here on the screen, you can see Wendell is right here. And I think, let's see here. I'm making some noise over here. But this is Raymond over here. And he said, "I thought I stuck out like a sore thumb." He said, "I couldn't believe they wanted me, young me, to be in such a picture with so many men." But also, this is Brother Turner over here on the right-hand side. And I think this, y'all correct me if I'm wrong, is that, well, let's see, can you tell? That's Brother Watkins, is that right? I believe that's right. So this is kind of some of the first group, and some of you will see some people. I know Brother Johnson over here is on the left-hand side as well. So this was some of the first group that were a part. And I'll tell you this one, before I really get into his life, I wanted to tell you this one story. He said when he, right after he got there, he had a job. He would hand blocks to block layers as they're building these buildings on the campus, and said he would do everything to try to put himself through school. And so on one occasion, he was called upon to go and clean Brother Turner's office. And he said, I'd be honest with you, I was scared of Brother Turner. He was a big man and he was firm and fiery. And so he said, I was a little nervous. But anyway, I was in there to clean his office, so I wanted him to do a good job. And he said, I was in there and all of a sudden the phone rang. And he said, "I don't know what in the world caused me to do it, but I picked that phone up and I answered the phone. Hello?" And there was a lady on the other side, and she said, "Can I speak to Brother Turner?" And he said, "Well, ma'am," he looked out the window, he saw him going home, Brother Turner going home, and he said, "Ma'am, he's not here, he's heading home." And he said, the lady said, "Well, what's the phone number at the house?" And he said, "Well, ma'am, I can't help you there. You'll have to look that up in the dictionary." And he put the phone down, and he said, just didn't think about it again. But he said the next day, Brother Turner was up in the pulpit and he was chastising these young men. And he said, "We just don't need any smart aleck boys that tell our Christian ladies that if they want to find a phone number, they can look it up in an encyclopedia." So I guess by the time the story had gotten worse, but he said, I sat there and I thought, "Yes, sir, that's right. Amen." And he said, "You know, Scott, I was grown before I realized. I think he was talking about me." Several years later, he had an opportunity to tell that story in front of him because Brother Turner had never heard it. And he said on the occasion we told it, he said, Brother Turner just about fell off his seat laughing, hearing who that student was. But there was a great relationship with Brother Raymond and Brother Turner for over 50 years, the rest of his life, Brother Turner's life. And so let me get just very, very quickly get into his life. Rex Turner was born on February 13th, 1913 in Corner, Alabama. I don't know if you know where Corner is. It's somewhere between Warrior and Summerton up there in the area. His parents were Elijah Jesse and Odessa Fikes Turner. He married his high school sweetheart, Opal Shipp, also from Corner, on December the 24th, 1931. They were married for 64 years. She passed from this life on July 24th, 1995. Brother and Sister Turner had three children, Jacqueline or Jackie, who actually married Jesse Long, and then, of course, Rex and their daughter, Mary. So I want to think a little bit for a while about his preaching. J.H. Horton baptized Brother Turner in July of 1928. His home congregation was the Antioch Church. It was really in right around the corner, I guess, but or right in corner. He preached his first gospel sermon March the 29th, 1932, at the Corinth Church of Christ in Cullman County, Alabama. In 1936, he was invited by the Chisholm Church of Christ, now the Eastern Meadows Congregation in Montgomery, to come and to be their preacher. So that's 1936, just as a side. 30 years later, my dad, Richard T. Harp, was the preacher of that congregation. We lived in Montgomery for about 3 years and worked with that congregation as well. So a little bit of my history when I'm thinking about this this wonderful history as well. He also preached for the Highland Avenue congregation from 1937 to 1940. In 1940, he began preaching at the Panama Street congregation. And except for a few years during the war, he preached for that congregation for over 25 years. He was also an elder in that congregation as well. During the 1940s and the early years of the 1950s, he conducted a daily radio program on Montgomery Station WCOV. And the coverage of this radio station program was extensive. It reached all the way down in the South Alabama. Brother Elliott recalled an occasion in the 1970s when he was preaching at OP and said there was an older couple that he studied with and baptized. And the old brother said that he remembered back 40 years before hearing Brother Turner preaching on the radio, and he was convinced from his preaching that he needed to live a better life, but it took him 40 years to make the decision. But that says a little bit about his, the influence that he had, of course, through his radio work. Seeds of the kingdom were planted in so many different areas. And of course, he says Brother Turner was a firm and fiery preacher in those early years. In fact, Brother Elliott said that according to his understanding, it was the Montgomery Ministerial Association that exerted its influence upon the people that were running the radio station to have him kicked off the air. In fact, Brother Turner even mentioned it in his magazine Sound Doctrine, in the October 25th, 1944 edition, where he says, it's entitled, "We Were Kicked Off the Air." And he says that the reason was because of the Ministerial Alliance and the Catholic Fathers. And of course, he talked about that kind of rebuke and how that it curbed the ability to preach the gospel. Brother Turner never really attended a Christian college to acquire his biblical knowledge, although men like Gus Nichols, John T. Lewis, G.A. Dunn, B.C. Goodpastor, Foy Wallace Jr., H. Leo Bowles aided him in his search for greater knowledge. When the Gospel Advocate put out the memorial issue in March of 1976 for Brother Gus Nichols, he had died previous fall. Brother Turner wrote this article called Gus Nichols As I Knew Him. Said the first time he had heard Brother Nichols preach was when he was about 12 years old. But he said that in 1931, at the age of 18, and for the next year, he said, I began to preach. And after I preached a few sermons, the brethren said, I need to go back to college. And of course, he went to Jacksonville State University for a while, but he says he came back home for the summer of 33, and he said, I made a few preaching appointments, and I had opportunity. And he said, at that time, Hood Florence, now deceased, insisted that I should go and study under Gus Nichols. And so I caught a ride to Jasper, Alabama. Went to the Nichols home and rapped at the door. Brother Nichols happened to be in, and I announced that I had come to study under him, all of this without an invitation. Brother Nichols and Sister Nichols greeted me and extended their hospitality to me. as if I had been their grandson, whom they had not seen in a long time. He said the depression was at its worst, and the Nichols had 8 children at home. Only 8, mind you. I've often wondered what my reaction would have been and what I would have done if I had been in their place. In order to atone for my imposition and blundering, he says, I did try for 31 years to turn no person away from college who desired a Christian education, regardless of his financial circumstances. He said that within a week, he went to Brother Nichols, Brother Nichols taught him how to make sermon outlines, and he taught me how to read orally. He corrected me on my pronunciation, and he emphasized how I should modulate my voice from sentence to sentence. And so he had a meeting at White House Congregation in Marion County, and he carried me along, and he arranged for me to teach a young people's class each evening just prior to the service. He later told me that the first promise that he saw in me as a gospel preacher was when I began teaching a class. And he presented me with some back issues of the Gospel Advocate. And of course, he goes on and he talks about how that he helped him. But by and large, Brother Turner was self-taught. And of course, even though later he does go to some colleges, I'll mention those universities in just a moment, but he generated a large library, about 5,000 volumes. And Brother Elliot expressed having vivid memories of seeing him sitting in his chair by the fireplace there in the den. Beside his chair would be piles of books and he had been studying. Let's see here. That he had been studying at that time and was researching some lesson or some article. His sermons were always well-prepared, contained material that were both logical and truthful. His voice was powerful and clear, and he possessed a good use of the English language. And he said the Bible he used for many years contained so many additional notes to the margin that it became a commentary, as well as the inspired word of God. Said Brother Turner was zealous for the spread of the gospel of Christ and the establishing of new congregations in central Alabama. He often preached in tent meetings in towns and communities where there was no church. He helped to begin new congregations in Alexander City and Camden, Tuskegee, Lightwood, and Elmore County, and in Prattville. And of course, Brother Elliot recalls the influence in Prattville because he preached in that congregation for 17 years. Himself. And so a lot of influences in congregations and starting congregations. Brother Turner was used extensively in gospel meetings and by various Christian colleges during their lectureships. His lessons have been published in at least 42 books. He said one day he walked into his office and he saw all these various books open actually to the place where his sermon was or his lecture was. And he commented, he said, I sure wish somebody would take all these lessons and publish them into one volume. So Brother Turner was a great preacher, but he was also a great educator as well. In September of 1941, Brethren Rex A. Turner, Leonard Johnson, Joe Ben Greer, and a few other brethren met for the purpose of discussing the possibility of beginning a Christian school in the city of Montgomery. Now, I think I've got another slide here. On the back of the paper of April 25th, 1942, with this announcement of the beginning of the Montgomery Bible School that was set for September 14th of that year. He said this group of Christians had promised the amount of $235 to ensure the establishment of a Christian school. $235. Doesn't take much to educate, does it? The Montgomery Bible School or College began September 14th, 1942, with 23 students, 19 students in high school, and 4 in the college department. I do want to show something that he pointed out to me. If you'll notice here, when they put that in the paper, they didn't even know where they were going to have the school. And so they had a post office address if you want to find out. So I thought that was it was a need to consider. The Montgomery Bible School is located on Ann Street. And of course, this is a much later period. In the foreground, you can see Ann Street. Now, when he went to school there, it was a dirt road. But and it certainly didn't have all these buildings. He helped to build a lot of these buildings. And but Brother Elliot believed that the first address was 914 Ann Street. And in his understanding that when the brethren made the proposal and began a Christian school, that location was uncertain at that time. But the establishment of the Montgomery Bible School was one of the greatest decisions ever made by these good Christian gentlemen. This one decision would impact our brotherhood for generations to come. Brother Turner served as co-president with Leonard Johnson for 6 years and as president for 25 years. Making a total of 31 years of leadership in the institution known as Montgomery Bible College, Alabama Christian College, and later, or now, Faulkner University. In 1967, the Christian Academy became a separate legal entity. And I'll just interject here. This is where I kind of come in. I was part of the last class to meet on the Ann Street campus before we moved over to the Atlanta Highway campus. And so I was in the second grade in 1966. And so I always like to tell people that I'm an alumnus of Alabama Christian College, Faulkner University. And I'm, you know, no lie, I was part of the college before it became a separate entity. And so I remember well this campus, and I remember our classes being up in the administration building there in our chapels every day. And so that was a precious time, and I didn't realize how special it really was, and certainly not that I'd be standing up here and talking about it in the way that I'm able to talk about it today. But Brother Turner was president also of the upper division of Alabama Christian College that was called Alabama Christian School of Religion. And the primary purpose of this upper division of the college was to prepare and to train men to become gospel preachers. So in 1973, Alabama Christian School of Religion relocated from the college church building to the landmark church building on Atlanta Highway. And later the school moved into its present location on Taylor Road, near the Auburn University of Montgomery campus. This institution attained university status and is presently called Ambridge University. He served as president until November of 1987 when he became chancellor, and he served in this capacity until his death on Tuesday, January 16th, 2001. Of course, I said before that he had been self-taught growing up, but he did educate himself, and he took advantage of the opportunities that were available to him. I did mention Jacksonville State University. He also attended the University of Alabama, Samford University, Harding Graduate School of Religion. He earned degrees from the following institutions. Samford University is where he got his BA, Jones Law School, his LLB, and Auburn University, where he's got his doctorate in education. I've often wondered who he pulled for in the Iron Bowl. All right. Brother Turner will be well remembered not only for being president of these institutions, but also for his teaching in the classroom, especially his class on the prophets. And I've talked to several students. I'm sure some of you here sat some of those classes and remember his lessons on the prophets, and just I wish we had some recordings of those. We could go back and listen to this. Numerous gospel preachers have gone forth from his classes to teach others in the knowledge that they should receive, or that they received from Brother Turner. Brother Turner was certainly a man of vision. He began, Gary, we were talking about this yesterday, he began the cluster system. That's what he called it, the cluster system. While president of Alabama Christian, he and other teachers would travel to various locations throughout the nation to teach classes in church buildings where students would gather. And Gary said you were in Mobile when you took some of those classes, and some of you may have been part of those classes in other places. I had several members when I was living in the metro Atlanta area that took his classes when he would come up to Atlanta. Of course, Jacqueline lived there as well. And I'd love to tell more stories about Sister Jackie, but time just doesn't give me that opportunity today. But he said the Alabama Christian School of Religion began to send videotapes and of classes taught on campus to students throughout the country. And there are men who have been preaching the gospel for over 50 years who attended the Montgomery Bible College, the Alabama Christian College, or Alabama Christian College. Brother Turner's influence continues to live on through their teaching and their work. Brother Turner had the ability to recognize the potential in young men and women and encourage them to preach. And many will testify that he was the one who influenced them the most to preach the gospel. Others have become college professors and presidents of preacher schools and universities, Christian universities. Brother Elliott said that when he graduated, he said he never really had a teacher to tell him that he could make it his preacher. And he just felt like he wanted to preach. And so he went and talked to Brother Turner. And Brother Turner said, oh, yes, you can preach, and I'm going to help you find somewhere. And so he got him an appointment with the church in Lineville, Alabama, and that was where he started preaching. And so Brother Turner helped a lot of young men. The university there, Ambridge, in memory of Rex and Opal Turner, the Ambridge University has established the Turner School of Theology, and some of you have attended there, or maybe even have degrees from there. Okay, Brother Turner, as an author and a writer, Brother Turner was a prolific writer. He knew how to use the colon and the semicolon. He often knew where and how to use adverbs and adjectives and verbs. In June of 1941, a biweekly periodical was begun, and brethren Rex Turner and Leonard Johnson served as the co-editors. The name of the paper was Sound Doctrine. The subscription rate was a dollar a year. However, the special rate that was offered sometimes was at 50 cents. I think they were just trying to get people to read it. Brother Turner was one of the main writers of this publication, and in it he wrote on some of his favorite subjects like the inspiration of the Bible and the resurrection of Jesus and other articles that would strengthen the faith of any Christian. And this paper was discontinued after several years. However, in 1975, it was resurrected and became an extension of Alabama Christian School of Religion. But because of a lack of funding, they ended up discontinuing after several years of publication. So if you've ever got some old issues and you find some in the 40s and then you find some in the 70s, like I have, you wonder what happened in the ensuing years. There was certainly a break. Brother Turner wrote three different volumes, or published three. He wrote more, but he published three different books. They were The Fundamentals of the Faith in 1972. He wrote Systematic Theology in 1989. He said the book was revised by Brother Don Shackelford in 2010 and is now called Biblical Theology. Brother Donnie, you said you've used some of his material in your classes. I remember us having that conversation. He wrote Daniel, A Prophet of God in 1993. The book Systematic Theology has been and is being used by Ambridge University. He completed a commentary on the minor prophets of Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi that remain unpublished. Boy, we ought to get that published. Be nice to have that. And he also finished a work on Jeremiah and on Isaiah and other subjects that have not been published. In his latter years, he began a commentary on the book of Ezekiel. But time had caught up to him, and his mental faculties were not what they were, and he was not permitted to stay focused on the work. Brother Elliott said it was a sad time for us who knew him to see him failing in his memory and his health, and some of you that knew him so well will attest to that. Brother Turner was also a writer for the Gospel Advocate Annual Lesson Commentaries. In fact, he wrote these commentaries from 1975 to 1979. One of the things about those commentaries is you don't see them identified who the author is. And so you don't know exactly who, but from 79, if you've got some of these old ones from 75, 79, these are books about from Rex Turner on very, very important biblical topics. His perspective and homilies contained in these commentaries are invaluable. He probably had more extensive knowledge than any other editor of these annual publications used by members of the Churches of Christ and any others. He said, "I remember him saying that the publishers, the Gospel Advocate series, didn't want him to write as much material as he had done in the past." And apparently this really saddened him because he loved to be able to write about things that he studied. And he said, there were occasions when Brother Turner would be somewhat discouraged and would wonder how much good he had accomplished in his life. And he said it was times like that that Brother Elliott would respond by saying something like, "Brother Turner," he said, "you will never know and fully realize in your lifetime how much influence you've exerted for good in the lives of so many men and women." And of course, Raymond was certainly one of them. I want to close my brief lesson here on a great and good man by reading from his hand some remarks that he found in Alabama Christian Reporter of December 1956. Brother Turner wrote, "When the burden of maintaining Alabama Christian College has been extremely pressing, I have reflected upon the spirit and tenor of the poem, The Bridge Builder, as a means of acquiring strength and courage to carry it on. The spirit and tenor of the poem has propelled me on in the face of seemingly insurmountable obstacles. The Bridge Builder, an old man going a long highway, came at the evening, cold and gray, to a chasm vast and deep and wide. The old man crossed in the twilight dim. The sudden stream had no fears for him. But he turned when safe on the other side and built a bridge to span the tide. 'Old man,' said a fellow pilgrim near, 'you're wasting your time with building here. You never again will pass this way. Your journey will end with the closing day. You've crossed a chasm deep and wide. Why build you this bridge at evening tide?' The builder lifted his old gray head. 'Good friend, in the way that I've come,' he said, 'there followeth me today a youth whose feet must pass this way. This stream has been as naught to me. To the fair-haired youth might a pitfall be. He too must cross in the twilight dim. Good friend, I'm building the bridge for him.'" Thank you.
We appreciate so much this good lesson from Brother Harp, and we are looking forward to the lecture by Brother Kilpatrick at 8:50. So we will stand adjourned for, it looks like, I can't do math, but that looks like about 12 minutes, best I can see it. So we'll stand adjourned for just a little bit, but let's have a quick prayer before we do. Our Father, we are thankful again for such wonderful blessings to be together. We thank you, Lord, for this great privilege that we've had to study, and we look forward to this day for all who are traveling. Father, we pray that as we look back, we can be inspired to continue to teach your truth, to hold to your truth, to defend your truth, and to spread it so that others might be saved and enjoy your fellowship as well. Father, we ask your blessings in all things. Amen.